Amen. Good morning, everyone. Nice to be with you today, to be able to share God's precious truth. I'm always nervous when I go to any pulpit. Some folks say to me, are you nervous? I'm always nervous. If you could hear my knees knocking, you'd think I was playing the lamb big. But it's good to be here, and I'm glad to see William down there likes hot chocolate. I've seen him putting his hand up. And you'd know he liked hot chocolate, wouldn't you? You'd know to look at him. Aye. And it's good to be with you today. Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to the book of Acts chapter 16. I want to read a portion from verse 9 down to the verse 15. I want the young people to turn this passage up as well, and even the children. And we'll seek to apply the Word of God as simply as we can, that even the little ones can understand it. And we'll seek to do that, because I would like even the wee ones to leave this building this morning knowing something of God's precious truth in a very, very special way. Take a look at verse 9 of Acts chapter 16, and we'll commence our reading just there. Cutting in, of course, in the midst of the missionary journey of Paul. He is on a second missionary journey at this particular time. And we want just to read these words. And the vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. There's always a need in the work of God. There's always people crying out for help. And if you can help as one of God's children in the work of God, you throw your lot in behind that work wherever the need might be. And be involved. You know, Paul, when he got converted on the Damascus Road, the first thing he prayed was this, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And what a question that was. And from that day to the day that he went out as a martyr, he done the will of God. He was a great missionary. He done a tremendous work. In fact, he's the greatest missionary outside of Christ that this world has ever seen. And here he is here again, and he's still on fire. He's received the vision. The vision's a call, known as a Macedonian call. Come over into Macedonia and help us. Verse 10. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, losing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. But she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Maybe we could bow in a brief word of prayer before we come to the ministry of God's precious truth. Our loving God and eternal Heavenly Father, we humbly bow at thy feet just now in the closing moments of this meeting today. We thank thee for the public reading of thy precious truth. We pray, Lord, as we would speak on this important subject this morning, that your blessing would be upon us as we would handle thy word, that we might know that infilling of thy Spirit, that thou would move from pew to pew, that thou would speak from heart to heart. And Lord, may our hearts burn within us today as thou comes amongst us. and challenges us afresh, even in this meeting this morning. So, Lord, to this end, we ask of Thee that You'll close us in with Yourself, and that You'll take away every distracting thought. And already, Lord, You've blessed Your Word through the children's story. May You do it again just now. In Jesus' name. Amen. I have read this particular portion of God's Word today for a reason, because I want to speak just in a phrase that I have read within these particular verses this morning. I'm looking really to speak on the subject of prayer. You will discover here, as we have read this particular chapter of the book of Acts, chapter 16, is referring to Paul and Silas, as well as others, as they were out and about seeking to do the will and the work of God. Paul, as you would read his life story, was a man who was always on fire. He was always seeking to witness and to see the churches encouraged. And he was a great example to us all. And you'll discover him in these particular verses beforehand, that his longing and his desire was that he would go into a place called Asia, that he would visit a place called Bithynia, except the Spirit forbid him to do so. And we can see his total obedience to the Lord, not only in the Lord sending him in places, but also where the Lord asked him not to go. And you can see that he had a heart open to the mind and to the will of God. We discover in Acts chapter 16 that he eventually came along with Silas, and he settled down in this little place called Troas. Bedded down for the night, sure he was weary, needed rest like everyone else. But throughout that particular night, God had his own personal dealings with him in a vision. And that night, as he lay in bed and as he slept that evening, God came to him in this vision, and the vision was a man from Macedonia standing in this vision, crying unto him to come over in order that he might help them. It is known as the Macedonian cry. And of course, when Paul got this vision, arising early in the morning, I'm wonderfully aware that he would have made it known to Silas exactly what the Lord had revealed to him that evening. He said to Silas, "We're going." And they left there and they made their journey immediately to go in the direction where God was leading. Now, they had some time to get there. They were putting themselves out, but they were sold out for God. They had came into this place and that place, and eventually they reached the region of Macedonia, and they came to this city of Philippi where God had called them to. Now, as they arrived in the city of Philippi, he was very much aware of where the Lord had called him to and why the Lord had called him to that place. Because in verse 10, we can see that, verse 10, if you would like to follow it with me. "And after Paul seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia." Now, here's the thrust of the matter. "Assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us." That's the first thing. He knew where he should be. He knew that this was the Lord's dealing in his life. And he knew that this was the Lord's directive will for him at that particular time. So he knew the place that he was to be in. And he also knew the purpose for being in that place. For he went on to say in verse 10, "For to preach the gospel unto them." So we have his arrival at Philippi. And you'll notice here as you read these verses that he does not go into Philippi with all guns blazing. He does not go in immediately as he enters through the gates of that city proclaiming the message of the gospel. It would seem to me that he had been there for some time, certain days. How many days, I'm not sure. It wasn't overly that many. But up until that time, he had done no preaching at all. He had just viewed the folk, viewed the place where he was working in, and just observed the settings concerning the ministry that God had called him to. But I want to say this. Before he ever opened his mouth in the open air to preach to the people of their great need of salvation, I feel that there's something that you and I can glean from his personal character this morning Because before he ever brought the message to the people, he seen the necessity that there was for he, Silas, and others to meet in the quiet place and in the stillness of the by the riverside alone with the Lord in prayer. And you will discover here that that is exactly what he did. Take a look at verse 13. It says, "And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made." He realized, you see, though God had called him, and though God had told him exactly what he wanted him to do there, Paul was very aware that he could not do it nor perform it in the ability of his own strength. For man cannot even create one anxious thought. He was aware that he needed the infilling of the Holy Ghost. He needed the power of Pentecost. He needed the presence and power of God to be his portion. I often wonder what all he prayed that day. He was very much aware of God's leading. He was aware of what he was to do. And I very much aware and often wonder what did he pray that day. Well, I believe that there's maybe three specific things he prayed about. Number one, that the Lord would give the people an ear to hear the gospel. Number two, that the Lord would open their hearts to an understanding of the truth. Number three, that the Lord would bring them to that place where they would have that deciding grace and to come through for Jesus Christ. I believe that those were three specific things that both he and Silas prayed for at that specific time, acknowledging that though they were there to preach the gospel, salvation is of the Lord. And they seen the absolute necessity we need to meet alone with God in prayer. See, today already, brethren and sisters in the Lord, you and I have spoken to God already this morning on numerous occasions. We have done so privately at home as we woke this morning. We have been doing so just in that little back room before the meeting, praying for the Lord's blessing upon the fellowship here today. We've been praying publicly and collectively as a congregation that the Lord would come and meet with us and bless us. And we will be continuing to pray as we go through the day. Prayer is as vital to you and I as a child of God as the very air that we breathe. And I want to say something else to you this morning. For you who are involved in children's work or in any other aspect of the work of God, and even beyond that, listen, it is vital and it is important that you bring the work that you're involved in before the Lord in prayer. And quit trying to do it in your own strength, because it'll avail nothing. You need the Lord for whatever the Lord has for you to do. Should it be a Sunday school teacher, should it be a children's worker, or whatever it might be, a youth fellowship leader, you need the power and the presence of the Lord. It's so important and vital in the life of the child of God. Paul seen this as a vital thing in his life, and that's why he's here by the riverside meeting with God in prayer. It's a place where prayer was wont to be made. With this in mind, I want to bring some thoughts before you this morning concerning prayer in our everyday lives. And I want just to take a look at several passages of Scripture concerning the importance for prayer wanting to be made. There is the prayer of guidance, you know, in the Scriptures. You and I should always know what it is to pray for the Lord to lead, guide, and direct in our everyday lives. Now, I want to turn you this morning to a portion of Scripture. Turn over to Genesis chapter 24. I think this is a tremendous chapter. We're going to be turning just to two or three chapters this morning, and we're going to be looking at this matter where prayer was wont to be made. For not only do we see Paul and Silas meeting by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, but here we have another occasion where prayer was needed at a time when a man needed guidance of the Lord. Take a look there at chapter 24 and the verse 1. And what does it say? "And Abram was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abram in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of the house of his house, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. Now verse 7. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house, and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. Here was Abraham with the thought of the well-being of his son in his mind and in his heart. His desire was that his son would find the right partner in life. And here we have him sending his eldest servant out on an errand, and in order to find a wife for Isaac. It was like going to find a needle in a haystack. And yet here we have the servant in obedience to the master, and he makes his journey to the place where he has been instructed to go. And in verse 12 we can see him coming to the Lord. Take a look there at verse 10. The servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master, and he parted, for all the goods of his master were in his hand, and he arose and he went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. Now take a look at verse 12. And he said, now here's the man that has been sent out on the errand. Here's a man who has reached the destination. He sat down by this well. He sent out to seek out a wife for Abraham's son. And as he's at this place where this destination at the well, listen, he begins to pray. Now what does he pray? Well, take a look at it. He says here in verse 12, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. Here he's praying for God's guidance. Here he's praying for a revelation from the Lord. Lord, I cannot do this in my own strength. I'm not aware in the direction that I should go. And therefore, I'm at your disposal. I'm asking you for guidance. I'm asking you to lead and guide the way. I'm asking you to take my hand and lead me in the right direction. That's exactly what he was doing. And child of God, you and I need to learn that lesson. We need to pray daily that the Lord would lead, guide, and direct in our lives. And the fascinating thing is this, as this boy prayed, and as he sought the Lord for guidance concerning the matter and the errand that Abraham had sent him on, listen, the wonder of it all was this. Not only did Abraham say that the Lord would send his angel before him and direct him, but here we have it actually coming to take place. Take a look at verse 15. It says, and it came to pass. Now I want you to see this. Before he had done speaking. Before he had quit praying. The Lord had already the answer on the way. It absolutely amazes me. And before he had quit speaking, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebecca came out, who was born of Bethuel, son of Malkah, the wife of Nahor, Abram's brother, with her pitcher on her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. She went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. I want to tell you, listen, here was the girl. This was the partner for Isaac. This was an answer to prayer, but listen, I want to say this. Though she's at the well, though she's filled her trust, though she's making her way back, this boy still doesn't know, because he has requested from God that the Lord would give him assurance by putting the right words in her mouth. So therefore, we read in verse 18, and she said, "Drink, my lord." Read verse 17 just to go with it, just in case. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher." Now verse 18. And she said, "Drink, my lord." And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand, and she gave him drink. Now verse 19. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, what? "I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking." This was a confirmation. This was what he wanted to hear. The Lord answered his prayer to the very last tee. And the Lord was able not only to bring her to the place where he was, but listen, he was able to put the very words on her tongue that he needed to hear. I want to tell you, our God is amazing. Absolutely amazing. And of course, you can read the story today as you go home, but you will learn this lesson, that the one who prayed for guidance and the one who sought the will of God for the leading of the Lord in his life at this particular time knew answer to prayer to the extent. Now read verse 48 of chapter 24. What does it say there in the verse 48? What did he do at the end of this whole occasion? Well, he said, "And I bowed down my head and worshipped the Lord." Hallelujah. "And blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham." Why? Well, here's the answer. "Which had led me in the right way." Here is his acknowledgement. This man, as he came to the place, as he came to the well, he got down before the Lord, mighty aware that he was unable to do this task for his master in his own strength. But he knew that there was a Lord God in heaven which could do more than abundant than ever he could ask or think. And I want to tell you, he had not only asked, but he's now bowing his head in the presence of the Lord. One thing he does, he begins to worship the Lord. He blesses the Lord God of his master. And he says, listen, "Which had led me in the right way." And what a wonderful example we have here of the great need that there is for us to pray for God's guidance in our lives. But the question must be asked this morning in this very meeting. Do we see the need to seek the Lord for guidance in our lives from day to day? Or are we just prone to roll out of bed in the morning and to flow wherever the wind may take us, not being aware at all of God's leading and guiding hand in our life? Dear friend, it's important that you and I would pray that the Lord would guide in our everyday life. I being in the way that the Lord led me. But there's another aspect of praying. Turn with me over to 1 Samuel. Chapter 1. Not only did Paul see the necessity of praying as he went to Philippi to evangelize that area, not only do we see the necessity of a man seeking the Lord in prayer for guidance concerning the errand that the Lord had sent him on, that his master had sent him on, but there is another aspect of prayer here that we want to take a look at. And it's the prayer in times of personal trials. And dear friend, who's without them? Personal problems. Personal difficulties that we face in life. No one could ever imagine the trials that that family are facing in Hillsborough this morning. And sometimes our backs are against the wall. I think here's a great example of an individual who find themselves with their back against the wall. Take a look there at 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 9. What does it say? A very familiar passage. So Hannah rose up after she had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon the seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Can you see her? Now what was her problem? Verse 11. And she vowed and vowed a vow and said, here's her prayer. O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto thee all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. I want to tell you something, dear friend. This was a personal burden that this woman carried in her heart. The problem was that she couldn't have any children. And I want to tell you, it was the breaking of her heart. When her husband went home in the evenings, he would have seen her standing at the kitchen sink, we're putting it in everyday terms. And he would have seen her with her eyes red with tears. She had been off her food. You would have seen her frame beginning to get smaller with lack of food. And she had now become pale and sickly, and she just looked a mess. The burden was great. And as this girl, day by day, the Bible tells us that she was in bitterness of soul and she wept sore. But we discover as we read the passage of Scripture that she had went to the temple of the Lord. And she brought her burden to the Lord. This personal burden that she carried, she brought her burden to the Lord. And she sought the Lord in the temple. And you and I have been reading that prayer this morning in verse 11. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. This was the desire of her heart. She was praying for something that, humanly speaking, beyond an intervention of God, she couldn't have. And in answer to that dear lady's prayer, God came with power. And my Bible tells me that the Lord remembered her, and he gave to her the desire of her heart. To the extent, do you see, verse 18, after that she had received that which she had asked of the Lord, verse 18 goes on to say, so the woman went her way, and she did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. I want to tell you, not only did she pray for the condition that she was in, but listen, I want to say this. When she brought the matter before the Lord, she left it there. How often we take it with us? And my Bible tells me when she left the temple, when she left the presence of the Lord, when she left communing with God, my Bible tells me she went her way. What did she do? Number one, she began to eat again. And her countenance was no more sad. I want to tell you something. Here was a woman knew that she had got through with God. And in verse 27, she could pray this prayer. She says, for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I have asked of him. I want to tell you something. Prayer was vital in her life at that time. And maybe there's a mom or a dad in this meeting this morning, and you're breaking your heart, your back's against the wall, you're facing circumstances that you know not how to handle. And I want to say today, listen, and I speak to my own heart, listen, burdens are lifted at Calvary. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Everything's hinging on prayer, isn't it? Everything's in total reliance upon the Lord. Now, my time's gone. But there's another one. There's not only the prayer that we need to bring before the Lord as we are involved in the Lord's work. There's not only the need for us to pray for guidance in our own everyday lives. There's not only the need for praying for situations that confront us where our back's against the wall, knowing what it is to bring it to the Lord. But there is the necessity for you and I to pray on behalf of others. Where prayer is wanted to be made. I'm going to be brief on the next two. You mind the time in the book of Acts chapter 12, you needn't turn to it. Mind when Herod gave the command that they would kill James with a sword. And when he seen it pleased the people, he proceeded further, the Bible said, to take Peter also and imprisoned him. Now Peter was held and bound and fettered in prison, bound between two soldiers, shut in the inner court, and other soldiers placed in statistic areas in order to make sure that he wouldn't escape. I noticed Peter done certain things that particular night in prison. Number one, he took his coat off and he made himself very comfortable. I often wondered did he roll it up in a ball and use it as a pillow. He took his shoes off and he lay down and he went to sleep. I don't think I could have slept under the circumstances. But he did. And while he was sleeping, there were fellow believers who knew him and loved him with all their heart. And they decided they could not do anything in order to get him released from the prison. And therefore, they met in a woman's house. And they met for prayer. The Bible tells me there in the book of Acts chapter 12, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Here were a band of people saw the necessity for prayer wanting to be made. They seen their brother with his back against the wall, and humanly speaking, he was in a condition where there was no escape. But they realized that there's a God in heaven that can do more than abundant than ever we could ask or think. And I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall in that prayer meeting as the fellowship got down before the Lord and they began to pray for their fellow worker in the Lord. Their fellow laborer in Christ. And my, what a wonderful act of God took place. Because in answer to prayer, what did God do? God sent the angel right into the prison. And the angel spoke to Peter in the prison. He said, arise. And when Peter arose, the chains fell off, the doors opened. That all the soldiers, all 16 of them, were fast asleep. It's amazing. Miracle after miracle took place. And the angel says to Peter, follow me. And he walked right outside to the prison gate at the outside, which was closed, which the Lord opened. And every obstacle was removed in the deliverance of Peter. And as Peter was being delivered from the prison cell by the angel of God, whom God had sent in answer to prayer, listen, the church were still on their knees praying. Hallelujah. Your church prayer meeting is so essential. How important is it to you? Is it as important to the fact that you're in your place every Thursday evening praying for God's blessing upon this work in every aspect of it? Thank God for the people who met at Mary's house and prayed for the man in need. This is a word to my heart, that I might give myself more over to prayer and to the seeking of God's face. Now my time's gone. There's one more that I want just you to go home and read about. You'll find it over there in the book of Exodus chapter 17. It's a time when Joshua was facing the battle. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up onto the mountain, and what did they do? They prayed. And as long as they prayed, Israel prevailed. But as soon as the arms began to drop, Amalek prevailed. The secret of the strength of the victory was in the prayer meeting. And child of God, I believe we need to get back on our knees today. We need to get back to God. And we need to get to the quiet place with the Lord. It's only the Lord can change the situation of the land. And we've got to pray to that end. May God speak to our hearts today afresh and bless His truth to our souls. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank Thee once again today just for the time spent around Your Word. We've been looking at different aspects of the matter of prayer today. And we can say, like the hymn writer of old, "Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer." It calls us from a world of care and bids us at our Father's throne to make all our wants and our wishes known. And Father, I pray today that Thou will even lay upon our hearts the importance that there is for prayer. Not only privately, but congregationally. And that we might know what it is to be sold out for Thee. You've said men ought always to pray and not to faint. Help us to take up the work we pray of the prayer warrior and to go through with God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going